We began here yesterday and want to continue tonight, shining light on a morbid subject. We began preaching yesterday on death ain't what it seems. Death ain't what it seems. Nowhere in the Bible is death ever given a bad rap. It's always seen as a gain and not as a loss. We looked yesterday morning at death and its revelation. Last evening, we looked at death and its reign, looking at those two things of death and sin. Well, I'll tell you what, if we could find somebody that could take care of both of those things, we'd be home free. I mean, you think if you could find somebody tonight that would get you off the death hook, you'd get free there, and would take all your sins, why, you'd be free. Hey, hey, hey! Know somebody did it. They took care of death, and they took care of all my sin. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Isn't that wonderful tonight? Death and its reign. But I would remind you now, although he took care of physical death, ain't going to be no graveyard death for me. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. But he did replace it with something. And I wished he wouldn't have, because what he replaced with is far worse than what he took away. Oh, don't you get to thinking he done you a favor. You ain't going to get no grave, ain't going to put no lid down on you, ain't going to throw no dirt on the real you. No, I don't think he did you no favors when he did that, because he's asked something much harder out of you. He's going to ask you now to die to yourself. Live the crucified life while you're here. I wish he'd have left us with the other. I tell you what, he's asked an impossible thing out of us tonight. To live above sin, to walk in victory every day. It's impossible to do. He must do it in us. He must do it through us. Live the crucified life. Tonight, if we could, I want us to go further in our study. If you've got your Bible there, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I want to look tonight, if I could, at death and its reaction. Death and its reaction. I don't know about you, I don't testify for you tonight, but having a proper reaction to death tonight ain't no easy thing. I've not had anybody close to die to me, except my grandma years ago. My wife's lost both her parents. I asked her the other night, I said, what is it like when they call you and tell you they're gone? I just want to prepare myself when they call me and tell me my daddy and mama's gone. She said, I can't explain it to you. She said, but you ain't going to like it. That's what she told me. I took her at her word. She couldn't explain it to me, and I ain't going to like it. Death and its reaction. Here the scripture says tonight in chapter number 5 and verse number 1, he said, for we know. And this is a fact tonight. This ain't no feeling. Ain't something you can see. It's something we know. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnestness of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. But we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. You may be seated. Proper reaction to death. Death and its reaction. You know, there's all kind of reactions you can have to death. I remember when I was a young boy, one of the first funerals I ever went to, there was a lady there in our church, a baby died. Man, I tell you, that's a little old teeny coffin. I remember as a young lad seeing that steel baby laying there in that coffin. Boy, that funeral home was full. But I've never seen a woman come unglued any more than that woman did. Oh, she screamed. I don't believe I ever heard the pitches of the noise that she made. Everybody was standing around there at the funeral home, and she had sort of quieted down. I thought maybe she had got a composure. But she had left. She'd gone out to the car. Somebody had looked. The little old coffin was empty. She had got the baby. Gone to the car with her. She was devastated. I was thinking about my brother's grandson. 3 or 4 years ago, he drowned in my brother's hot tub. Boy, his wife has really had a rough time of it. Somebody said the other Christmas, she goes out there at Christmas time, opens presents at the grave. And she burns candles there at the house around his picture at Christmas time and stuff. Somebody said something to me, said, you don't think somebody ought to say something to her about burning them candles? I said, Lord God, if it was my kid, I might be burning more than candles. I'm not here tonight to tell you how you ought to react to death. I'm not here tonight and going to tell you how I'm going to react to death. I'm just here tonight to tell you what the Bible says, how we ought to react to death. Now, whether you want to do what the Bible says about how you want to react to death, that's your business. But I am a hoping that God will give me the ability to react like the Bible says we ought to react to death. Because remember, death ain't what it seems. Death ain't what it seems. As we begin in this text, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, I want to hammer down tonight three little words. You'll see them progressing, but they'll give us three reactions to death tonight, and they're so important. I wished I had the grip on them. I wished I had them ready. I wished I had them in the arsenal. And when death comes, I'll just throw them at them. But I don't know that I'm quite that far down the road, but I'm interested. I'm interested in reacting like the Bible says about death. As we start in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, I want us to look first of all tonight at the principles about this reaction. The principles about this reaction. I notice here in our text, in verses 2 and 4, there's the principle of groaning out. Groaning out. Paul said here twice, he said in verse 2, "For in this we groan." He makes a statement again in verse number 4, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan." Pray tell, why are we groaning? Because verse number 1 says, "For we know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved." Here's the reason why we groan tonight. Because that little house that you're sitting in there tonight, it's dissolving on you. It is ever so slow. And sometimes God can speed up the process. I was thinking about that again today. Precious preacher friend, I've held services for him several times at Moses Florence. He pastors up here in Powder Springs, Georgia. His daughter, kids go to school where my son's principal. And she's 42 years old. Athlete. Says she had the pulse of a runner. Run every day, lift weights, went to the gym every day. A couple of weeks ago, she was lifting some weights, thought she pulled her back. Got a husband to rub some of that liniment on her back. Thursday, she was on her way home from work. She told her husband, she said, "I'm going to run by the hospital. I don't feel good." He said, "I'll meet you at the emergency room." He got over at the emergency room. She was sitting at the admissions desk. They were asking those opening questions. He sat down there beside her. He sat down there beside her. She reached over and held his hand and said, "Honey, I'm going." And that was it. Massive heart attack. 42 years old. Oh, you ain't got to be sick to die. Oh, no, you ain't got to be old to die. This body is dissolving. That little word dissolve is an interesting little word. It means to loosen. This body tonight is pulling up the tent pegs. This body tonight is pulling in the anchor on you. This body fixes set sail. I don't know when you're going to sail. You might sail tonight. Oh, Lord, some of you might have 40 years left, 50 years, if the Lord don't come back. But in possibility tonight, hey, they might crank the anchor up on you tonight. Real quick. But it is dissolving. That little word dissolve there means to lodge in as but a guest. I didn't know if you noted or not, but that ain't a house you're living in. That's a motel you're living in. You're just a guest there, huh? Oh, don't think you're going to be in there a long time. I tell you what, if you live to be 100, it'd still be a short time you lived in that box. It's dissolving on you. And because of that dissolving, that little word dissolve means to come to an exasperating end. To come to naught. To come down is the word dissolve. Paul said because of that, he said we groan in this body. I'm talking about the principle of groaning out. Extremely interested in that little word, groan. What's that little word, groan, mean, preacher? Oh, it's awful deep. I don't even know if you can get it or not. One of the meanings is this. You done that any today? Is your body made you do any of this today? Huh? I don't know about you. If I get up in the morning, ain't nothing new hurting. I think that's a good day. And it said it wasn't nothing hurt. I never get up in the morning, ain't nothing hurting. No, 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 no. If you get up in the morning, ain't nothing new hurting. I got up the other morning, and my middle finger was froze. And it was aching like a toothache. And I could not move it for 24 hours. And all of a sudden, it was back just like it was before. What in the world's going on? Groaning. What's that little word, groan? Don't miss it. Oh, it's so good. It'll help some of you. This will help some of you old people tonight know what's going on inside your body. That little word, groan, not only does it mean to sigh, but the little word means to pray inaudibly without words. Paul said that God is going to make some things go on inside of your body tonight that'll make you pray and it don't have no words to it. You listening to me? Inaudible words tonight, that little word groan. That little word groan tonight, it means to creak or squeak. Did you know that your pains that you're having tonight, they just creaking noises? What that creaking noise is for, preacher? There's something inside of you saying, I want out of this house. Yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah. You having any pains tonight? Just rub that little pain. That little old pain is telling me, I want out of this house. I'm sick of living in here. Groaning. Principle of groaning out. Paul said in verse number 4, for this cause, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened down. This burdening down, there's a groaning, there's a creaking. What is it? There's something inside of us that wants to move from mortality to immortality. There is something inside of us. It is the real us tonight that don't want to stay here no more. It wants to make the cross. And it's creaking. It's creaking. Wants out of this body. Principle of groaning out. But what's the text? Well, it's not only there the principle of groaning out, but there's the principle of going up. He says in verse number 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in this body. There are some of you tonight that are at home in your body. you liking it. You've done everything to it. You know the man. Huh? You've curled it. You've bleached it. You've straightened it. You've skinned it. You've fatted it. You've done everything you know to it. And you still don't like it. Huh? You listening to me? He said, therefore, we are always confident knowing that whilst we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. Reason why you don't like that body, you want, there's something in it wants to get out. Something in you wants to go up. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He said in verse 8, for we are confident, I say, and willing. I didn't know if you'd see that word. I wanted to underline it. That is one of the key words tonight to having a proper reaction to death, is you being willing. Are you listening to me tonight? Here's where death to self's going to come in, honey. You're going to have to lose your will in His. All this crowd tonight been telling you, you got free will. I'm telling you somewhere, His right where you want to kill it. Because your free will tonight ain't going to like that. Huh? Ain't nobody of their own free will and volition want to get in that line. It's going to have to be death to self, crucified life, in order to be made willing. You say, preacher, I don't know if I can buy into that or not. To be willing tonight to be absent from the body, be present from the Lord. I was thinking about old Simeon tonight, there in the temple. He saw the Lord, and he said, I can now depart in peace.
Yes, sir.
That little word, depart in peace, he said, I can now pull up the anchor rope. Huh? You know, you hear people talking about they're going to die. Anybody want to die? So I know if you're going to get up a bus load now, I don't want to get on. Old Simeon said, I'm ready to get on the bus. How come? I done seen the Lord. You know, if you saved tonight, you done seen it all. What do you want to stay around here for? You done saw all the world this could give you. Huh? To know Him, is that's it. That's the highest peak. You done reached it. You done reached the top. If you've been saved, got Christ dwelling in you. That's as high as you can go in this world. Uh-huh. You trying to climb some more? Honey, hey, you're at the top now. Nowhere else to go. You're on the bus. Willing. Willing. Death to self. Oh, tonight. You say, preacher, it's hard for me to buy into it. Could I ask you something tonight? You say, preacher, I don't know. I'm awful young. I don't believe I could buy into that being willing. God want to take me. I'm willing to go. Well, could I ask you this tonight? Would you be willing to be made willing? Ain't not much to ask of you, is it? He done so much on that cross. Would you be willing tonight to be made willing? But watch where you're buying it at now.
Yeah.
Willing now to be made willing. Oh, there's the key word tonight. If we're going to have a proper reaction, when death comes, when you lose that loved one, when you lose that family member, when you lose that mate, when they call you and tell you one of your youngins are dead, if you're going to have a proper reaction to death, you better get willing prior to that happening. You better cross that willing bridge long before that comes. Willing. Willing tonight. Willing to let God do what He wants to. I didn't know if anybody had ever told you or not, but life ain't got no steering wheel to it. I know some of you trying to direct the hound out of it. You ain't got no steering wheel. You ain't even got the gas pedal or the brake. Huh? I ain't going to let you drive this life. You better let life flow tonight. Get direct life. Willing tonight. Watch, go further with me now. We're talking about a death and its reaction. Still got your Bible there? Look in John's Gospel, chapter number 5. I want to pull out another little key word. One of the little words is willing. Now, I want to go on record tonight. I don't know that I'm willing. You say, preacher, gracious, you not willing? What the world you want to preach to us about being willing? Hey, I told you when I started, I am not here tonight to tell you how you ought to react to death. I'm not here to tell you tonight how I'm going to react to death. All I'm here to do is to tell you tonight what the Bible says, how we ought to react to death. But I'm interested in getting willing tonight. I'm interested if the Lord wants to make me willing. I am interested in being made willing tonight for Him to reach in and take whatever He wants or take whoever He wants tonight. Are you listening to me tonight? You'll never live until you're willing tonight. Let Him do whatever He wants to do. Because it don't matter if you're willing tonight, He's still going to do whatever He wants to. But it'll help you tonight if you're willing. You'll enjoy the trip more. And you won't go to screaming trying to get them out of the coffin and take them to the car. If you're willing. They won't find you humped over the coffin. Oh my God, what am I going to do? They won't find you doing that. Well, not going to mean you ain't going to cry. Don't mean you ain't going to be broken. Don't mean that you're not going to weep for months. But you ain't going to come unglued. You ain't going to fall apart where you can't minister to others and comfort others with the comfort wherewith you've been comforted tonight. If you are willing tonight. Watch the text now. We're back over in John's Gospel, chapter number 5. We've looked at the principles of this proper reaction. Could I mention the promise in our reaction? John chapter number 5 and verse number 28. Promise in our reaction. We've looked at one key word. One key word is willing. That'll help you with death tonight. Willing to let God do whatever He wants to. You remember now, He's going to do whatever He wants to. He'll take whoever He wants to. If he wants one of your youngins, you think He's going to stop tonight because you don't want Him to? No, He'll stop him at all. He won't want to be coming after Him. Are you willing to be made willing? Just let Him do whatever He wants to. John chapter number 5. I notice in this promise of the reaction, I notice one of these promises tonight, verse 28 and 29. The first resurrection assures us of the second. The first resurrection assures us of the second resurrection. I was wondering tonight, any of y'all ever been resurrected from the dead? I have. I didn't know if any of you have been resurrected from the dead, but I've been resurrected from the dead. He told me in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath He quickened who were dead. I was dead when He found me. He made me alive. I've been raised from the dead. You may not have been raised from the dead, but I've been raised from the dead. I mean, I was dead as a hammer. I couldn't get to God. Free will of choice, grace, what am I going to choose? I could choose this way. I couldn't choose that way. I was all messed up. I know some of y'all had a little spark of divinity in you, and you could choose God, but He didn't make me like that. He made me all messed up. I was depraved, sure enough, to the core. All I could do was pick this way. I couldn't pick that way. I was all messed up. I didn't know if you know it or not, but you like that too. Ain't nobody told you. The first resurrection assures you of the second. Look in chapter number 5. Look at verses 28 and 29. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear. I didn't know if you see that word or not. I thought I'd underline it. Here is the second principle in having a proper reaction to death tonight. First one is willing. Second one is hearing something. But you're talking about hearing something with these ears? God forbid. See, this is what's going to mess you all up that day. I tell you what, I went to a preacher's meeting this morning, and I tell you, I heard more trouble and more dead people than I have ever in my life heard. Man, I tell you, they were dying everywhere. If you listen with these ears, you know what you're going to do? I listen with these ears, and I come out that like this. Man, there ain't no hope. They dying there at 42 years old. I've been trying to walk a little bit. She was running every day. Ain't no hope for me. Whoa. You listening to me? He said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming into which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. First resurrection assures you of the second. The question is tonight, have you ever heard anything in that first resurrection? Watch the text. Look at verse number 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. You know, all my life, my dad and mom took me to church all my life. I heard a general call. of the gospel every time I went to church. It was a fundamental church. Every time I went to church, I heard a general call of the gospel. Heard it with my ear. Oh, yeah. I heard the preacher said, oh, everyone that's thirsty, let him come, whosoever will, let him come, let anybody, come on, come on, come on. I heard it with my ear. It did me a bit of good. One morning, 1968, I was sitting back there where my brother loves to shout. He was sitting right back there where he was. I didn't hear no general call of the gospel that morning. See, God don't give no general call of the gospel. God ain't never given no general call of the gospel. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. That's what men, God has sent preachers. He has raised us up to give a general call. Call anybody and everybody. I tell you what, if the elect had a yellow stripe down the back, we'd know who to call, but they don't. Huh? We call them all. Anybody, come. But He don't do that. He gives an effectual call. That morning, I did not hear something here. I heard something here. Come, get up, come forth. That call, that summons to come, was accompanied with the ability to come. Not only did God call me, He gave me the ability to come. Listening to me? I heard something. I was wondering this tonight. You know anything about that voice? Have you ever heard that voice? Preacher, what does it sound like? If I got to explain to you what it sounds like, it won't help you. You listening to me? I'm just asking you tonight, have you ever heard it? I tell you, if you've ever heard it, it'll help you with death tonight. It'll help you with death tonight to hear that voice. He says in verse number 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth him on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There's hearing involved in it. Hearing with this ear, oh no, hearing down here. You mean to tell me, preacher, God talks to you? Yeah, God talks to me. You mean here? No, down here. But He's been so loud down here, I thought I was hearing Him up there. First resurrection assures you of the second resurrection. He said in verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall what? Fail! If you've ever heard God an effectual call your name, tell you to come forth, you can rest assured of one thing. You will hear His name when He calls you to come forth out of the grave. Huh? I love the hound out. That turns my cranks, don't you? Look at verse 28. Marvel not, for the hour is coming to which they that are in the grave shall what? Hear His voice. Oh, it's so important tonight to hear His voice. Old John said over in John chapter number 10, my sheep know me, they know my voice, and they follow me. I just wonder, do you know what His voice sounds like? Have you ever heard Him? You say, preacher, you're being awful nosy tonight. No, I ain't being nosy. I'm just trying to get you ready for death tonight. Huh? Do you know that voice? Do you know when He's talking? I'm not going to testify for you tonight, but I have a hard time figuring out sometimes if I'm talking to me or Jesus talking to me. Huh? Sometimes I can throw my voice and sound just like Jesus. You listen to me? Well, you know something inside me? Boy, I could be so religious, sound just like Jesus in there. But I tell you what, when He speaks, oh, it's just so clear. I mean, when He speaks, I know that throwing voice in there, it's real close, but there's just something different about that other voice. Huh? Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, I'm telling you tonight, the first resurrection assures us of the second resurrection. It is involved tonight in that hearing tonight. The first resurrection will assure us of the second. The call unto will assure us of the call out of here tonight. If He's ever called you unto Himself tonight, He will call you out of here. Oh, tonight. Do you have an ear for God tonight? Does God talk to you? Does God speak to you? Oh, I love the hound out of it when God talks to me, don't you? My wife was telling me today, we was discussing something in our family that was going on, and she told me that she had been praying about it on Saturday, and she said while she was praying about it, she said God told her that He was going to do it. And you know, they called us Sunday afternoon and said it was done. You know, I'm you have any problem believing that God told her that was done? You don't need to pray about it anymore. I took care of it. He had. I love it. You ever have any crazy thing like that happen to you? God speak to you all tonight. It is because of that effectual call, that resurrection, that first one, I'll guarantee you the second one, that effectual call unto Him will assure you of a call out of here tonight. Oh, I love that tonight. What's involved in having a proper reaction to death? One thing, willing. Second thing, hearing. You got any ear for God? God talk to you tonight. God saying anything to you tonight. You say, preacher, I don't know if God taught me. This is awful deep. I don't know. Man, this would be way off. We just jumped clear out in the abyss tonight with this little thought. God don't talk to nobody but His children. You listen to me tonight. If God ain't talking to you, now you make yourself a little note. I don't belong to Him. Not one of His sheep. Talks to His sheep. Oh, the promise in our reaction. Watch this now. Oh, this is so good. I hate to even, this is the last little thought. You remember, there's three words now. Willing. I must be willing tonight, and even if I'm not willing, to allow God to do whatever He wants. Am I willing to be made willing? God's going to do whatever He wants to or not, but He loves it tonight when we are obediently willing tonight. Give God whatever He wants. Then, there's this word of listening tonight. I got an ear for God tonight. He's ready to call me out of here tonight. I'm listening. I'm listening. Watch this now. John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. We've looked at the principles about our reaction. We looked at the promise for our reaction. Can I mention tonight the purpose, the person for our reaction? You know, God ain't going to let you go through this by yourself. He sends a person to go through this thing with us. Make sure we have the proper reaction. He went through it with Mary and Martha. Watch it now. The person for our reaction. I notice in chapter number 11, verses 14 and 15, there is the person of proclamation. You know the little old story. He was 4 days late, all that stuff. You know how that, you know. You know the story. I ain't got to tell you. But how come was he late? You ever give any thought to how come he was late? Tells us in the Scripture. Then said Jesus, verse 14, unto them plainly, Lazarus dead. He had tried to smooth that thing over. He told him one time, he said, oh, he's sleeping. He's trying to, you know, just call him, you know, just rock him along like people tell you, you know, doctors will come out and tell you, you know, I've done all I can for your loved one, you know. They don't ever come out and say, dead! Graveyard dead. He ain't breathing no more. It's gone. They don't ever come out and tell you that. Always try, and that, our Lord's trying to be kind. He told me to sleep. And they told him, well, if he's sleeping, ain't no need of us going over and waking him up. Let him sleep. Finally, he told me, dead. Plain. And I'm interested in what he told him next. Verse number 15. And I'm glad. Now, I don't like that part of it. He said, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad. Whoa. How would you like that if Jesus come out of the funeral home? You standing there by the coffin are the sweetest thing you know. And the Lord said, they did, and I'm glad. Well, that'd be real bedside manner, wouldn't it? Huh? Be glad. They did. That little word glad there is cheerfully calm, happy, full of joy. Oh, tonight, there must be more to this death thing than we knowed. It must not be a bad thing. He said he dead and I'm glad. Death must not be a loss. It must be a gain. I'm talking about the person of proclamation. He says again, makes a proclamation. Verse number 25. Jesus said unto her, old Martha's met him. She's wrestling with death. She takes him into the past. She says, if you'd have been here, you wouldn't have died. Then she takes him way over in the future. She said, oh, I know you the resurrection and the life. She just take him all over the world. That's the way Martha was. She's all over the world. You're flying high, flying low, but she's flying. Look at verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on. I didn't know if you'd see that word or not. I thought I'd underline it. There's the third word. Have proper reaction to death. Got to be willing. Got to be listening. You got to be believing. Believing what, preacher? You certainly don't want to believe what you can see. Oh, no. Now, I don't know about you. You might have seen a pretty funeral home before. I ain't never seen no. You ain't never seen me riding down the road and see a funeral home and say, boy, ain't that a pretty funeral home? I ain't never seen no pretty funeral home. Oh, no, 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 no. I done been back there in the back. Huh? Oh, yeah, I've been back.